Appreciate each one that's here tonight. We appreciate you allowing me to come and be in a little meeting with you. Last meeting that I held up in this area was back in the 80s. Probably about 85, 86. I don't remember the last year. I didn't take time to try to find it back in my bookwork. But it's been a number of years. Matter of fact, some of you wouldn't even hear then. Most of you wouldn't even hear then. So, we need your prayers. This special will go perfect with the message I have on my heart tonight. Matter of fact, this has been on my heart the whole time since he started dealing with me about coming. This has been what he wanted the first night of the meeting. And this is just about the most important subject in the whole Bible. Without this, you'll not make heaven your home. Without this, you won't have victory. Without this, you're going to have problems. And let's go to the 17th chapter of Luke in the first verse. We'll start reading. Again, I need your prayers. Am I to put this on? All right. Is this a mic? Okay. All right. 17:1 of the good book of Luke. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now my burden tonight is increase our faith. Let's go to Luke 18:8. And the context above this is a little widow talking about here where that she come to the judge, I believe it was, avenging my adversary and so forth. And he gets on down in here, and the Lord said in the 6th verse, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy 4:1. And we'll tie these together now. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. Saints, we're living in probably one of the most dangerous times as far as faith is concerned there's ever been. People have backed off, given up, let down, walked away, changed. They've done everything but the right thing, and that is go for the great faith. They don't want to do that. And the apostles here, when they looked at the situation, they heard what Jesus was saying. He was telling them, not repent, but forgive. Forgive these people. Well, there's going to be times that you're going to have to do some praying. You're going to have to get some faith. You're going to have to get close to God to be able to forgive some people that do you a great wrong. So consequently, the apostles looked at it and they said, Lord, increase my faith. Listen tonight, with all the things that's going on, everything that is the turmoil, everything of the governments around the world, how bad that the faith is. We don't have high faith in America. We have a low form of faith. I'm not talking about the Church of God, but I'm talking about people in general. They don't have much faith in God anymore. If that would be the truth, what about you and I? Do we not need an increase of faith? Increase our faith, Lord. We need help. We're in trouble. We're in a position we're facing things that possibly will never, ever be again. And so consequently, if we're having this kind of trouble, we need God to help to increase our faith, to get it more, to build it up, to make it bigger, more portion. Because folks, without faith, you and I are not going to be able to make heaven our home. Increase our faith. Lord, help us tonight to have our hearts open, that we desire what God would have us to have. And that is, He wants us to have what He had. Faith. Powerful faith. Jesus didn't have just any faith. He had powerful faith. He had a faith with the Father. He had a connection with the Father. Listen, folks, today, we need a connection with God. Not just a little connection. We need a powerful connection that God would be able to bless us and work with us and help us in every way that we need Him to help us. Have faith in God. Increase our faith. Would your prayer be today, Lord, increase my faith. Help my faith, Lord. Over in Mark, the 9th chapter. Got to thinking on this and some of my meditations on these lines of thoughts. Never thought about this in connection with this particular message. But he said over here in the 9 and 14 of Mark, he says, He came to his disciples. He saw a great multitude about them and scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and he pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him, and he said, O faithless generation. Another place, about two or three places, Jesus just flat out told him, and Peter was one of them, said, Oh, ye of little faith. Listen, folks, do we need a little faith or a bunch of faith? A lot of faith, an increase of faith, a powerful faith. We need the faith that God wants you and I to have individually, because we've all got different lives, different callings, different positions, so we want what Christ has for you and I. That is not the same for every individual in a sense of the word, because some of us are going to maybe need a little bit more than others. Some people say, well, I want to see great miracles. I want this and I want that. Listen, folks, you don't have to have great miracles unless you have great faith and great grace. Yes. So Lord, help us today. So he's coming here and he's saying your disciples couldn't do it. What could you and I do? Lord, help us. He answered him and he saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Yes. Now then, one commentary brought out the fact, well, maybe a couple of them, that he's directing this to the disciples, but he's also directing it to others too, not just his own disciples. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tarried. He fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it's cast him in the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This man is desperate. And Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If thou canst believe. And the man replied and said straightway, the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And Jesus saw that the people came run together and rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Listen today. He said, Lord, I believe. Have you ever come to a place where he said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief? You know what he's saying? Give me an increase of faith. I need more faith. I need help here. I'm in trouble. I need you to help me, Lord. Listen, for real faith comes by the inspiration of God.
Yes.
On my honeymoon in 1983, I got sick. Now, you might laugh at that, but it's true. I found out I ain't the only one it happened to, though. I might be younger than some of them, but I wasn't the only one. And I got sick, and the next morning, Rebecca made some phone calls to my wife, and she called around for prayer. And then she started praying. Either that or reading the scripture. Maybe she was reading some scripture. And why? Then she started praying. And as she was praying, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Thank God for your healing." And I go, "Lord, I'm not healed." He said, "Thank God for healing." I said, "Lord, I'm not well." She kept praying, and the Lord kept talking to me, and I kept saying, "I'm not well." Well, she prayed all around the world for everybody before she prayed for me. I was the last on the list to get prayed for. And then when she got through, I said, "All right," I said, "I want you to get the Bible and read some scriptures." And then I think I quoted some. I said, "Now then, I want you to lay hands on me and pray for me." And that's what we did. And this time the Lord come again. See his persistence. See his encouragement. He was trying to get me to get a hold of something that I never got a hold of. Listen, folks, if we're going to get a hold of things, we got to have God to help us. We've got to have him teach us, work with us. And that's in the life of faith. He's going to have to come along and help you to build your faith. You're not going to do it by yourself. It's going to take the power of God, the knowledge of God, the working of the Spirit of God to help you and I to be able to have greater faith. And again, he spoke to me. And he said, "Thank God for healing." And it got a hold of me. And I began to see what he was saying. In other words, reach out. Touch the hem of his garment. By faith, start thanking God for healing, even though you don't feel it, even though you don't see it. Say, "Thank God for healing." And I started doing that. And when I did, I started getting better and better. I come up out of that bed. I got dressed. And away we went, praise God, on the rest of our honeymoon. Thank God for healing. Oh, today he said, "Lord, increase our faith." The Lord wants to increase everybody's faith, not just one person. He starts us out with saving faith. You have just enough faith to basically get you saved that you're able. Well, the next scripture I want is Romans 10 and 16. Let me bring that in there. He said, "Elias saith, Lord, who have believed our report." And then the next scripture said, "Faith cometh by healing, hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But they have not all believed the gospel. For Elias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report." Do you and I believe the report? This is the greatest report that's ever been put out. This is the greatest book that's ever been written. The gospel means what? Good news. Listen, today our news is so contaminated, you can't even believe a lot of it. But the bottom line is, we can believe this. But we're going to have faith to believe part of it. We're going to have faith to get into the depths of some of it. And it's going to take Jesus Christ the righteous to be able to get us there. And he said there, who believed our report? Do we believe that report tonight? And then it said, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Oh, tonight, there's people that's come in to an old gospel meeting, old sinners. And they've come in there, and the preacher'd get up and he'd start preaching. And he'd lay it down on one line. They'd come back the next night, he'd lay it down on another line. Maybe one night's love, and maybe one night's repentance, and maybe another night is sin. And he would lay it out, and he would build. And that man or that woman or that family, they would come and they would listen. And as they did, God would begin to take his word. And as the preacher preached it, he would begin to convict them, but he would begin to give them light and understanding. There it is. You can have it. Have faith in me. I can help you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus wants you and I to start out with a foundation of faith, of saving faith. He wants to build that foundation all the way from point A to point C. When you and I, when we die, we're to have a greater, bigger foundation of faith than we had when we got saved 35 or 40 years ago. And it takes him to do that. Working through one trial, one tribulation, various, well, let me give you another situation. I don't want to use myself much in this, but I'm giving you my testimony. I was praying many years ago, and I said, Lord, I said, help me to get greater faith. I basically, I don't know if I knew where this scripture was in here, increase our faith, but I was wanting more faith. I thought he was going to come along, maybe give me some scripture, or give me a song, or something like that. Well, I just got excited. Didn't come like I thought he was going to come. I worked at a service station. Car come in one night, had a hot radiator. I'd worked on a lot of hot radiators, so I knew a little bit about the situation. Back then, most of your radiator hoses were your smooth hoses, not your rigid hoses, but your smooth ones. When you had pressure in the system, you could reach down and grab that hose, and if you couldn't collapse it, there's pressure. If you could crush that hose in your hand, so to speak, there wasn't no pressure in the system. So I looked it all over, listened to it, and talked to the people about it, and I reached down and grabbed the hose. It collapsed in my hand. I reached over and popped the top of the radiator. I thought, no problem here. And out come the old mouths, old guys are out there, old faithful. It come up out of that radiator, and it burned me. That was the start of me getting more faith, folks. I'm going to tell you, I was trusting God, had Brother Leslie for my pastor, and I was doing, I don't know what all I did, but I was protecting it, but at the same time, I wasn't going to man or anything like that. I got picked on, I got laughed at, I got talked to, but I kept my trust in God. Lord, you can help me with this. And he did. He began. You can have a headache. Some people say, well, just pop an Anderson or an aspirin. Brother Mark Sammons one time was real sick with the flu. And he was laying there on the bed. And the devil come along and said, if you take this pill, you'll get better. And Mark spoke to him and said, if you'll ask me about it, I can do it for you. You can get that stuff, get the bloodstream. I can heal you instantly. Listen, I know a Jesus and a God in heaven on the right hand and has all power in heaven and earth. He can heal you instantly of anything. Have faith in God. Praise God. He can do what man can't do. He can make people jump up out of bed and run and shout and praise God. Listen, man can't heal you. They can put bones together, but they can't heal in bones. They can do things. Now, I'm not knocking doctors, but the bottom line is there is a healer, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's got all power, and he can help you to have the faith to be able to reach out and get a hold of anything that you and I need in God.
Yes.
Increase our faith. The Lord's going to have to help us. Brother Gordon one time, he was sick and he wanted to go to the Akron camp meeting, if I remember the story right. And his son come in there, Jonathan, and he said, Daddy, I'm going to pray for you that the Lord heal you and send you to that camp meeting. Now he's just a boy, 5, 6 years old. He wasn't very old, best I remember. Pretty young. And so Brother Gordon began to reach out to God. He didn't want his son disappointed. And he didn't want to be disappointed. He wanted to had a burden to go to the meeting. So he's looking to God. And Jonathan laid again. I don't know if he anointed him or just what. But he laid hands on him and prayed for him. And God healed that brother. And he got up and went to meeting. Stayed and went over there for the camp meeting. Oh, today, increase our faith. If you took a number of 1 to 10. And you said, 10 being the greatest and 1 being the last. Where would you put your faith in number tonight? Could you say, well, I've got a 5 or 4 or 6 or 3 or 2 or 1 or 10 or 9 or 8 or 7 or 6. What could you say you've got tonight? Increase our faith. Lord, another thing, when you and I are reaching out to God, we've got to be willing to let him do whatever he wants to do. Some people say, well, I don't know about that. Yeah, you do too. Right now, where I'm at in my life, I'm like an old, limber dish rag. Lord, have your way. All I'm interested in is the gospel work and souls. What you want me to do, where you want me to go, what you want me to preach, Lord, then have your way. That right there will get some results. Just allowing him to use you. And that will allow you to help you, to be able to take you and put you through trials and tribulations, battles and situations to get you in, that you can increase your faith, folks. The Lord wants to increase it. He wants to increase it just as bad as they're asking for it to be increased. But it's going to take God helping you and working with you. Lord, I'm willing. Like I said, I didn't have any idea a car, a hot radiator was going to help my faith, but it did. I had no idea when I got married and took all 100, and I was going to deal with what it did, but it did. But that right there has gone with me for a lifetime. Gone with me for years. It's a foundation stone. Abraham had God build him a life of faith. Abraham is a father of faith, a man powerful, praise God. And he's one that you and I can look at and take and read the scripture. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We can take his example and read it and study it. But the bottom line is, God still got to bring us through some things where we can learn to have faith in God too. Faith is a dependence on the veracity or truthfulness of another. It's firm belief or trust in a person, thing, doctrine, or statement. The firm foundation of faith, now listen to what this said, is the essential supreme perfection of God. His unerring knowledge, his immutable truth, his infinite goodness, and his almighty power. What a foundation. What a foundation for you and I to have faith in. He said, all power is given unto me. Lord, help us to believe in that power. Lord, help us to believe in the immutable truth, his goodness. Help us to believe in the supreme perfection, his unerring knowledge. Help us, Lord, to believe and to understand that what he is doing is for our good, to build an increase of faith. Lord, increase our faith. The Lord wants you and I to have a great foundation of faith. How's your faith tonight? Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. First verse, Hebrews 11. Now faith, right now. How's your faith right now? If you was to get into a battle, a great battle, in one way or another, how's your faith tonight? It is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. A translation's on that. Now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for. But faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for. Faith is being sure of the things we hope for. Now faith is a title deed of things hoped for. And what is faith? Faith gives substance to our hopes. The evidence of things not seen. Being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality, faith perceiving as real what is not revealed to the senses. All right, let's go to the seventh verse here of Hebrews. Well, I'll just read out this one. Seventh verse here, talking about Noah. It said, by faith, Noah. By faith, Noah. Now, that's not our time. That's way back there, folks. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Now then, God come down and he warned Noah. There's going to be a flood. There'd never even been a rain. Just had dew. No rain, no flood of any kind, no hurricanes, nothing that would produce lots and lots of 50-inch rain, so to speak. It wasn't had. And he's telling him, I want you to build an ark because there's going to be a flood. What would you do? And then the Bible says, and then 1 Peter said he was a preacher of righteousness. And he preached for, 120 years? Can you imagine the mockery? Can you imagine the things that were being said to him, laughed at, picked on, slapped, all kinds of things, maybe even his own family? Are you crazy? There's never been a flood. There ain't going to be no flood. What, Noah? You're losing your mind, buddy. You need to get back to the bottom. He believed God. Yes. He had faith in God. He was warned of God. It says that there's going to be a judgment. I've heard my mother said, son, I've heard this preach all of my life, and it ain't happened yet. But does that mean it won't happen? Lord, help us to have faith that we can perceive what God says. Listen, Noah perceived, and it was to the saving of his house. Listen, you and I need to have faith that there's going to be a judgment, and we be prepared to meet God to the saving of our house, so to speak. Listen today, if we don't, we're going to be sad trouble on that day. Oh, Noah went to work. God told him exactly how to build it. Room by room, floor by floor. He done exactly everything. Listen, there is a great ship of Zion today that you and I can get on and ride the seas of time. But we're going to have to get on board, and we're going to have faith that there's going to be an end. There's people evidently don't think they're going to die. But how many people are in the cemetery today? Do you look at them? Walk around. Look at the tombstone. 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 50 year, 60 year, 70 years. In Holly Hill down there, not too far from the chapel, I know Brother Larry and Brother John, Brother Clint's been down there just close to Clinton's place. There's a cemetery there, and you go in there and look at some of them tombstones. Them people died way back there. And they were old. Well, I say they died way back there. They were old of age when they died. 100, 90, 85, so forth. They had a lot of age to them. They weren't a bunch of youngsters. I'm not saying there were no babies in our cemetery, but they lived a long time. Alright, he said, now, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is of by faith. Oh, today, Lord, increase our faith. Do we want an increase? Do we want something deeper and greater than what we've ever had? The Lord wants you and I to have something great today. Something that people can look at. Something that they can get a hold of. Listen, folks, today, with faith being a low ebb, you and I need to have a contagious faith. Something that will stir them, shake them, and help them to see there's more to this than just living for the world and living for the devil and running out and having a hoopy time. There is something that is out there, and that is a life of peace and joy, and you can have it by having faith in God and your sins washed in the blood. All right, let's go to 10th chapter of Hebrews and the 38th verse. 10 and 38 of Hebrews. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. For we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then the 11th chapter of Hebrews, again the 6th verse, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that's the reward of him that diligently seek him. So Lord, help you and I today. He said there, he says that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Are we getting a hold of that? Our whole life is faith. From point A to point Z, everything about you and I in living for God is all connected into faith. So consequently, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, Lord help us. This puts a very great, awesome truth here. That God accepts people by faith, but if they pull back, it's going to get them in trouble. He said, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why? Prayer is the key, but faith unlocks the door. Why? Because you and I must believe in what he is. God is God. The McCameys, singing group. I don't know how many of you know them, but Carol's one, and what was the other sister, Carol, and, well, anyway, they had a preaching daddy and a praying mama. And they said on a tape or a CD that I've got, said, God taught us that God is God, period. God is God, folks. And the just shall live by faith in that God. In everything that He is, everything that He has for you and I, He wants you and I to hook in to the very depths of what He is and what He can do and how He can do it. Listen, folks, there's time that you and I are going to have to almost walk blindly by faith in God. He'll give you a scripture, and you're going to have to follow Him and just count Him as right. And maybe you can't understand all that He's doing, but the bottom line is you're having faith in the one that told you, I'll lead you and guide you and take care of you all the days of your life if you'll just allow me to do it. Oh, tonight, Lord, help us not to fail God here. My soul shall have no pleasure in Him. I don't want to fail Him, do you? You don't want Him to look with disapproval down upon you and say, I laid this out and you didn't have faith to follow me. I could have taken care of it. I could have done this or I could have done that and you didn't follow me. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's where you and I need to be, right there. That's where you and I need to be. Another scripture is Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy 6:10. 1 Timothy 6:10. The just shall live by faith. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Fall after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now he said here that the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after. It's hard for rich people to have faith in God, because they trust their money. Poor people, it's very easy for them to trust in God when they begin to get a hold of God and the reality of God, because they don't have nothing and God says, I can do all things. They can just reach out and get a hold of that. But a rich man says, well, I can do all that. So, in the one place he said, how can a rich man enter into heaven? That's one of the disciples' questions. Can't do it. Have you ever heard of the Vanderbilts? The Commodore Vanderbilt, he at one time was one of the richest men in the world. He had a lot of money, a lot of power. And one day he was sick, and it looked like maybe he was going to die. And so he came out, and he had one of his workers there, and he asked this lady, he said, did the Bible say, can a rich man enter into heaven? Or how can a rich man enter into heaven? And she gave him an answer. I don't remember what the answer was, but she gave him a good answer, best I remember. But he was getting down. Listen, folks, money can't get you into heaven. You can't take it with you. You can't buy. There's people that have tried all kinds of things, but the bottom line is, at the end of every man's life is God. So consequently, if we're going to make heaven, it's by Jesus Christ and His righteousness, His blood, His power, His glory, His grace, and nothing else. Money ain't going to get you there. You're going to walk off and leave all that, all the homes, all the land, all the money, all the possessions, all the clothes. Naked you was when you come out, and naked you're going to be. You're coming out one way, you're going back the same way. You're going to be dead. And you're not going to have anything. So, he said here, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith. We better be careful, folks. We better be careful. Riches can do us damage if we're not real careful. They pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But then the writer says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee the money. Flee all those things there. And follow after righteousness, godliness, and faith, love, patience, and meekness. This is what you need to follow after, man of God. And the main thing of that is faith. And then it said, fight the good fight of faith. Listen, the devil is going to do everything he can to tear our faith down. He's going to do everything he can to hinder our faith. He's going to do everything he can to hurt us in any way he can concerning faith. He said, fight the good fight of faith. It's time to give the devil a punch in the eye, praise God. It's time to make him run. It's time to run him out of the chapel, down the road, as I say. It's time to have victory and stomp on his head a little bit and praise God and shout and do what we need to do. Have faith in God. Fight the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life. You and I are not going to make heaven without a fight. We're not going to get victory on these things without a fight. We might as well just set our mindset that the devil, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, will go around seeking whom he may devour. He's going to do everything he can to stop you and I, to hinder you and I. But he said over there, Luke, the 10th chapter there, he said, I give you power to tread on scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, praise God. Over all the power. Listen, he gives us power, but you and I are going to have to put up a fight, bless God. And that'll be right down to the end of our life sometimes. We may be weak, we're going to have to keep fighting. Fight the good fight of faith. And lay hold. Get a hold of it. Hang on to it. Whereunto they are also called. And has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Listen folks. There would be the most horrible time for you and I to give down. That's lived the life for a number of years. And then drop it right down at the end. Why ain't nothing to this. Had a cousin in Louisiana that had gone to church, lives in a LaRonger congregation, and gone to meeting, and had a profession of salvation, but really hadn't lived it. And he got down toward the end, and she knew she was dying. And she got serious then. And she started reaching out. She started calling people, asking forgiveness, doing everything she needed to do to be clear with God. And on her deathbed, one day some was in the room and she said, you see that man standing over there in the corner? They go, no. There's a man standing over there. And then another time, she said, you see them two men over there in that corner? They go, no. There's two men standing over there. Brother Ed Wilson said, I want the kind of end she had. I want the kind of end she had. The kind of end of angels waiting to scoff her off to heaven, praise God. I don't know what my wife saw, but just before she died, she busted out in the biggest old smile, breathed three more times, and she went out of there, praise God. Now I know Rebecca ain't good enough that if it would have been something bad, she wouldn't have been smiling, I guarantee you. She'd have been screaming probably. But cousin Kawita, she goes, Carl, did you see that smile? I said, sure did. I know where she's at. I know where she's at. What she saw, I don't know. But I want to go where she's at. Don't you? I want to go to heaven, praise God. Give 46 years almost of my life to this. And I'm 42 years almost of preaching now. And the bottom line is, fight the good fight of faith. Saints, I want to challenge you, don't give up the fight. Give him a black eye, praise God. Knock him a whopping. Send him running. Say, get out of here, devil. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. I may need this message next week myself. Oh, fight the good fight. Hold on to your faith. Flee those things. As I say, flee those things and follow after righteousness. Follow the good things, faith and righteousness, godliness, love, patience, meekness. Follow those things. All right, let's go to Matthew 21. Let's wrap her up. Matthew 21 and 18. Matthew 21 and 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only. He said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, truly, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, having faith, ye shall not get. You shall receive. All right, let's tie that in with John 14:12. John 14:12. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now then, fig trees to me represent small trials and battles. Mountains, big battles. So he's saying here that this fig tree, just a little something, and he cursed it, so to speak, withered up and died. And the apostles were all caught up with that. But he said, listen, you can do bigger than that. You can say unto this mountain, if you believe. If you believe, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. I got another scripture coming to mind. Let's go to Mark the 11th chapter. Let me look here. I think it's the 11th chapter. Where are we at here? All right, 11 and 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Again, just backing up what he's saying in Matthew and John and now Mark, you shall have them. What does the scripture say? Ask and what? You shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and you shall. Shall. Positive. Absolute. Something you can stand on. Have faith in. Listen, say. He told me. He said, thank God for healing. Now that don't sound like anything big. Well, it did to me at the very beginning, it did. I couldn't hardly get a hold of it. Just thank God for healing. Yes. Thank God for healing. But when I did it, it started working. Well, you don't understand, Brother Carl. I got a big trial, a big battle, and so forth. How big is God? He holds the whole world in his hand. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He's a powerful, mighty, big God. And how big is mountains compared to him? Yeah. Nothing. I soared at, 35,000 feet? And if you had been standing out there, I couldn't even see you. I could see some homes and some buildings and some plowed fields and stuff like that. But you couldn't see no people. He talks about us being grasshoppers. He's sitting on the circle, circling the earth and so forth. Listen, today, Christ is big, mighty, and glorious. And you and I need to have faith in that power. We need to have faith in the truth, the veracity, praise God, and what he tells us right here in the Word. Ask and you shall receive. Can we do that? Increase our faith, Lord. How many of us want more faith? Mightier faith. Contagious faith. Would you not say that when Abraham was told to go sacrifice Isaac? I got the right one in mind. Don't you think that would have been a little bit of a trial? Do you know how old that son was? He wasn't a 5-year-old boy. He was in his 30s, I believe the commentary brings out. So him and his dad had a good relationship, and God said, I want you to go sacrifice him. Yes, sir. When the Lord begins to deal to increase our faith and to establish us deeper in the things of God, He likes obedience. Now we might have to get out and cry, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief, and He'll work with that. Lord, help us. Help us to increase our faith. Help us to have greater faith here in Ohio than we've ever had before. Let's finish up. Hebrews 10th chapter, 20th verse. By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now He said here, and having a high priest. Then the Bible says in other places, a great high priest over the house of God. The one that is the head of the whole thing. Now, when you was children, did you not have confidence in your father? I mean, a good father now. I'm not talking about somebody that mistreats you like some of them is out there today and has been down through the years. But I trusted my dad. And we'd go on vacation and I'd want something. Ice cream cone, soda pop. Who did I go to? I went to my father. And this was vacation time. And he's pretty liberal on vacation time. Dad, could I have a... Yeah, here, son, here's a quarter. Or whatever. Go get you a soda. I learned how to pull strings, so to speak. Just like all the rest of us did, Brother Clinton. Brother Larry. Like all of us did when we boys, we learned how to work our dad to an extent anyway. And they would do it. This one's greater than our father. Greater than our earthly father. He said, all power. Our dads could do a lot of things. It is awesome when your child brings a balloon to you that they pop and they want you to fix that balloon. Jesus can do it, folks. I couldn't. When a girl brought it to me, here, Dad, fix this. Woo! Had Brother Ed Wilson tell that in the pulpit one time. I don't know how my girls were if they were even born, but I thought, wow. But they done it to me too. But tonight we've got a God that can fix anything. What we've got to have is faith in that God. So He said here, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Not part, not half, but more faith than we've ever had before. A full, complete assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. Having God blessing, cleaning, working in our lives. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. Let us provoke, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I'm going to add something. I don't want to misscrew the scripture here, but unto love and more faith. Like I said, contagious faith. Something that will get people's attention. Something that they can go, hey, all right, my uncle. Dying of cancer down in Louisiana. We had a minister that had a lot of faith back then. And my uncle loved this man. And he told me, he said, Carl, He said, I want to go to his house and nestle up to him, to his faith. I want to get real close to him, spend some time with him. He wanted to be healed. He wanted to be healed, and this man's faith was such a contagious, challenging faith to him. Lord, help us. I think he did it. I remember he did it. He went up there for a while and spent some time with him. He didn't get healed, though. But he did try. But what we need to have is faith that challenges those around us.
Yes,
Lord, increase our faith.
Yes, amen.
I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers tonight. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.